Welcome to Vilna's Life, Legends of Fauna, a mini podcast series that revolve around stories that portray animals in a sense of awe and admiration and fear for some. These stories help us find out whether these may have affected and molded the modern world treatment of animals. Without much ado, I present to you Vishal and Shashwat, your hosts for Legend of Fauna. So, let's dive in.
Hey guys, let's start this episode with extending our gratitude to our listeners. We would not be what we are without you awesome people. Thank you so much for all the love and support we have received over the last episodes. We hope to keep you informed like this and hope you keep listening to our podcast mini-series Legend of Fauna up until the last episode and extend the same support to all our other upcoming podcasts.
Today we talk about the tales of snakes. One very common reference everyone knows about is the devil that tempted Eve into biting into the apple. Well, there is much more to snakes than just a devil incarnation. So let's find out a little more about snakes today. Ever since Eve's transgression in the Garden of Eden, snakes in Christian tradition have been associated with lies, evil, and temptation. But in other cultures, as far-flung as ancient Greece and Egypt and indigenous North America, snakes symbolize fertility, rebirth, renewal, and even immortality. From the Aztec god of wind, rain, and creation to the semi-divine human snake creatures that guarded the Buddha. Over the past years, religion, mythology, and literature, serpents and snakes often stand for fertility or a creative life force. They have also been associated with water and earth because many kinds of snakes live in the water or in holes in the ground. The ancient Chinese connected serpents with life-giving rain. Traditional beliefs in Australia, India, North America, and Africa have linked snakes with rainbows, which in turn are often related to rain and fertility. As snakes grow, many of them shed their skin at various times, revealing a shiny new skin underneath. For this reason, snakes have become symbols of rebirth, transformation, immortality, and healing. The ancient Greeks considered snakes sacred to Asclepius, the god of medicine. He carried a caduceus, a staff with one or two serpents wrapped around it, which has become the symbol of modern physicians. The next common mythology about snakes is the well-known Greek story of Medusa.
In Greek mythology, the Gorgons were snake women whose gazes would turn people to stone. They had serpents for hair, long claws, sharp teeth, and scales covering their bodies. According to some myths, Medusa, the most famous of the Gorgons, was originally a beautiful woman. Her tryst with the god Poseidon in one of the Athena's temples, infuriating the virgin goddess, who turned Medusa into a Gorgon as punishment. Athena later helped the hero Perseus slay Medusa, giving him a shiny bronze shield that he used to watch the Gorgon's reflection rather than looking directly at her. After cutting off Medusa's fearsome head, from which her two children with Poseidon, Chrysaor and Pegasus emerged, Perseus mounted it on his shield and used it to paralyze his enemies in battle.
In fact, Greek mythologies have another few really interesting stories relating to snakes.
Lamia, a beautiful name for a beautiful lady. Lamia, the queen of Libya, was known for her beauty. Her beauty attracted the mortal men and even the gods. Zeus admired Lamia and they mated, which resulted in the birth of their many children. When Hera got to know about her husband's affair, she was furious. So she cursed Lamia, turning her into a monster, who is a half serpentine, half human. Well, Lamia found herself getting frustrated of cannibalistic hunger. She then went on a killing spree. She killed children and devoured them, sucking their blood. When Hera got to know, she put Lamia to sleep. Zeus took pity on her and woke her up and got her out of her misery. He gave her the opportunity of taking her eyes out and putting it back wherever she wanted so she can rest. Another famous story from Greek mythology is about Typhon, the father of the monsters. Well, yeah, a father to most monsters known in the Greek mythology. The offspring of Gaia and Tartarus. Typhon mated with Echidna, who was a half-human, half-snake. They both created a creature to bring fear and bloodshed and total disaster to the humankind. Typhon was part man and part beast. Below his thighs, he had huge curled snakes, which when fully extended, reached his head and emitted hisses. Typhon was the largest and strongest child of Gaia. He rose higher than all the mountains, and with his head he could scrape the stars. Typhon had wings and feathers all over his body, his hair was filthy and his eyes were flashing fire. From his huge arms sprang 100 heads of a fierce dragon with black tongues. When Typhon stretched his arms, he was able to reach the west from one side and east from the other.
Moving on to other cultures, Norse has a rather interesting story, which is one of the most dramatic stories to exist in the Norse mythology.
Jormungandr, one of three children of the shape-shifting god Loki and the giantess Angerboda, was thrown into the sea by Odin, father of the powerful thunder god Thor. The serpent grew until his body encircled all of Midgard, and he was able to grasp his own tail with his mouth. At the start of Ragnarok, the final battle that would end in Earth's destruction, Jormungandr left the sea and rolled across the land, wreaking havoc. In their climactic confrontation, Thor slew the serpent with his mighty hammer Mjolnir, but only made it 9 paces before falling dead himself, poisoned by the snake's deadly venom. In African mythology, an ancient god created the sun, moon, and thereafter the earth, which he fashioned up from a lump of clay. The god also created a set of twins, the primitive beings called Numo. The twins were half-human and half-snake, according to the ethnic group of Mali and Upper Volta, called the Dogon. The ancestral spirits were immortal and said to have originated from another planet and graciously combined their DNA with animals on Earth.
In Chinese mythology, there is a very famous story of that of the white serpent.
The story of a powerful female white snake demon who lives underwater but takes human form as Madam White or Bai Shuzhen. After Bai falls in love and marries a mortal man, Zhu Xian, a Buddhist monk, Fahai reveals her true identity to her husband. Fahai later kidnaps Zhu and traps Bai under his lakeside pagoda, but not before she gives birth to her son with Zhu, who will eventually free his mother.
Hindu myths contain many tales of serpents. Kalia was a five-headed serpent king who poisoned water and land until God Krishna defeated him in battle. Kalia then worshipped Krishna, who spared his life. Kadru was a snake goddess who bore 1,000 children. Legend says that they still live today as snakes in human form. One of Kadru's children was the world snake Shesha that the gods used to turn a mountain and stir up the ocean, just as people churn milk into butter by using a rope coiled around a stick or paddle. As the gods churned the ocean with the snake, many precious things arose from it, including the moon, a magical tree, and the Amrit, a water of life.
Astik was the son of Jaratkaru and the serpent goddess Mansa. According to Mahabharata, Astik saved the life of a serpent, Takshak, the king of snakes, during the Sarp Satra. The snake sacrifice was organized to avenge the death of his father, Parikshit, due to the snake bite of Takshak. Astik convinced the king to end the victimization of the serpent race. The day is said to be Shukla Paksh Panchmi in the Hindu month of Shravan, and since then, the day is celebrated as Nag Panchmi. Another story talks about Adishesh. Adishesh is also known as Sheshnag, the king of Nagas. The Puranas mention Adishesh as the one who holds all planets and universe on his hoods and sings the glories of Lord Vishnu. He is often depicted resting on Shesha. It is said that Shesh supports Kurma, and when Kurma moved, Shesh yawned and the gaping of its jaws caused earthquakes. Shesh in Sanskrit implies remainder, meaning when the world is destroyed at the end of Kalp, Shesh remains as he is. As per Mahabharata, Shesh was born to sage Kashyap and his wife Kadru. Kadru gave birth to thousands of snakes of which Shesh was the eldest, Vasuki. The snake that we see around the neck of Lord Shiva is Vasuki. It is believed that Shiv blessed Vasuki and wore him as an ornament. He is considered to be the king of Nagas and has a gem called Nagmani on its head. He is also mentioned in Ramayana and Mahabharata as well. The popular legend in Hinduism in which Vasuki is a part of Samudra Manthan, the churning of the ocean of milk. In the legend, Devas and Rakshas were engaged in the churning of sea in search of nectar to be immortal. Vasuki allowed the Devas and the Rakshasas to use him as a rope to extract the ambrosia of immortality.
While not all snakes are forms of divinity or related to them, Kalia was one such example.
Kalia was a poisonous snake living in the Yamuna river in Vrindavan. The water boiled and bubbled with poison for 4 leagues and no human or bird could go near the river. Kalia was the resident of Ramnaka Dwepa but moved to Vrindavan by the fear of Garud, the enemy of serpents. Garud was cursed by a yogi that he could not enter Vrindavan. Once when Krishna with his friends were playing on the banks of the river and accidentally the ball fell in the river, Krishna jumped in the river and Kalia rose up with his 110 hoods vomiting poison. After a tiff with the snake, Krishna rose up from the bottom, dancing on the head of Kalia. This incident is remembered as the Kalinga Narthana in South India.
In the start, we mentioned that the most commonly known snake appearance was from the Abrahamic universe.
In Genesis 3, we read about how Eve was tempted by the serpent who felt that the forbidden tree wouldn't kill Eve but would open her eyes and be as a god knowing good and evil. After partaking of the succulent fruit, her eyes did indeed open and she then encouraged Adam to partake of the fruit. Soon thereafter, they discovered that they were naked and got busy creating some clothing out of fig leaves. The serpent in this Bible story represented Satan and his desire to thwart God's plan. Later, in Moses' story, in Exodus 4:2, God turned Moses' staff into a snake and back. Later, when Moses and Aaron appeared before the Pharaoh, Aaron's staff turned into a snake. The Pharaoh's sorcerers countered by casting down their own rods and similarly turned them into snakes. Aaron's snake then proceeded to swallow the sorcerer's snakes and rods.
Here is a fact. There are about 3,000 species of snakes on both land and water. But the interesting fact is that they are found everywhere except in Antarctica, Iceland, Ireland, Greenland, and New Zealand. Out of these 3,000 species, only 600 are venomous and only a small 7% can significantly hurt a human, and there are about 70 species of snakes that live in water, mostly in the Indian and Pacific Oceans only. So what is it that makes humans poach snakes? Well, for the most part of it, snakes only attack when they are threatened. Snakes for years have been a farmer's best friend. They have cleared fields of unfriendly mice and other pests. However, when face to face with humans, they are brutally murdered in self-defense. Did you know that India is well known for snake charmers? Although it looks fascinating and gorgeous, it is an excruciatingly painful death for snakes. In case of venomous snakes like the cobra, the snake's fangs are crudely crushed using metal pliers and the venom glands are painfully gouged out or punctured, disabling the snake's only means of defense. As a result, the snake is condemned to a slow and excruciating death as venom is also crucial to its feeding and digestion. Since the extraction process is crude and improperly done, the risk of lethal mouth infection usually kills the snake. Other than the market, which is already big for snake leather and skin, snake charmers contribute to a great part of it. Well, although snakes are not considered to be endangered, they are senselessly killed and tortured throughout the world. They are considered divine, yet undergo a terribly horrible treatment.
Today we conclude the episode here. We will come back here next time with yet another animal. Till then, stay safe, stay wild, and stay curious.
Thank you so much for tuning in. You will find us in your playlist every Monday, Wednesday, Friday and Saturday at 6 p.m. If you like Wilderness Lives, Legend of Fauna, please like, subscribe and share with your friends and family. You can also visit our website www.thewildernesslife.com to know more about us. Or you can always follow our official Instagram and Facebook pages. @wilderness_life or register to our Medium publication, The Wilderness Life, to keep updated with our work. See you guys soon with yet another episode.